Are you a big brain of the beautiful game? Prove it with the great new app that'll test your football knowledge to the limit. Name That Player. Download the Name That Player app today and race against the clock to identify the Premier League players purely from a list of the clubs they've played for. Put your football knowledge to the ultimate test with the Name That Player app. Available right now for iOS and Android from the App Store and Google Play. Name That Player. Can you beat the best?
Shoot the defence, the best podcast in the world. We're at it.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you've played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we are now taking our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, and send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hello, welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Stel, and I've got two very special guests with me this evening. First of all, a returning guest. It's been a while. Paul Parker. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm fine, thank you very much, Stel. One of the last times I would have been on was when I was living in Singapore, and I've been back 2 years now, so it's definitely been over that kind of time.
True, but we have bumped into each other a couple of times since.
Yes, we certainly have. You've done me a few favours as it goes, I appreciate that.
No, I didn't mention it just for that, but I'm just saying, you know, making me feel bad for not having you on for a while. But you're well, though, yeah?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much.
And the hip is working fine, yeah?
The hip is absolutely perfect. It's just getting a little bit static now because I've not been in the gym now for 5-6 weeks, so that's the longest period it's been since I've stopped playing.
Well, hopefully they'll lift the lockdown in the next few weeks and you'll be back on track again.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And another returning guest, he was on a few weeks ago, but he's back again. Trevor Challice, welcome back, mate.
Nice to see you, Stel. How are you, okay?
Yeah, likewise, mate. How are you coping since the last time we spoke?
I'm not going to lie, I'm missing the football now. desperate to get back out on the pitches and coach and desperate to be watching it again. But we've got some valuable time with the family, so I can't grumble really too much about that.
Absolutely. And you haven't strangled anyone yet. Neither have I, so I think we're all safe. All three of us, actually. So, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Great stuff. We're going to talk about the late, great Ray Wilkins. It was his birthday a few weeks ago. This gentleman is a legend in English football. Those of you who don't know, he played for Chelsea, Manchester United, AC Milan, Paris Saint-Germain, Rangers, Queen's Park Rangers. Went into coaching, management, a highly underrated footballer. And as you said earlier, Trevor, before we started recording, if he was playing these days, he'd be the ideal number four. And we likened him to Pirlo. So you two have both played alongside with him. Paul, what are your earliest memories, mate?
Ray, the moment he walked in, he suddenly just walked in and became a character. Mm. He became a personality in the dressing room. The moment he walked in, he dug out a few people like he's known them for years. I think if anyone else had done that to certain players, I think they could have been punched. But Ray come across in that way of talking. He's the only person I know who talks like a Cockney, but was born in Hillingdon. But he just had that. He had that manner. He had that kind of arrogance, which is a good kind of arrogance, that self-belief. And he made, I mean, he turned up at Rangers and he made such a difference. I still can't believe when I tell people that I played with him and I was captain of Queen's Park Rangers, it just didn't make any sense. It was just an armband in the end because Ray was the governor.
So in terms of his presence in the dressing room, mate, I know you said that he's not afraid to speak his mind, so to speak. I assume he had a lot of charisma as well, hence the reason people listened to him.
Yeah, I mean, but he had that respect because whenever he got the ball, it's amazing. Everyone talks about players finding space. He's so good to find space. Be honest, if you've got players around you, and I'm sure Trevor along his line will back this up as well, that you have players who are that good and they're respected by their fellow pros, when they get the ball, sometimes you're a little bit scared to get close to them because you're worried of what they're going to do to you. That, you know, they've earned the right over years from what they've achieved to kind of get that extra bit of space, that extra half a yard. And Ray was one of them. People were scared of going tight of him because Ray wasn't the quickest, but his movement off the ball, and if you were trying to man-to-man mark him, he would take you places and he would lose you because he was that clever about how he went about it. And when you played on the pitch, his passing, some of the goals he scored and some of the goals he made, it was absolutely incredible. And even if you speak to all the players during my time when he was there who played with him, everyone would just, he just added something different in training sessions. We used to have a little, we called it the box. And, you know, you have two in the middle and then you start and the first one goes out and then it goes around like that. I don't think Ray ever once went in the middle. He never once went in the middle. I think it's between him and Roy Wegley who actually went in once and who went in zero. It was that good. Those two were that good, you know, in situations like that, that they never went, I don't think they went in the middle and had to go and close the ball down.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Trevor, you played alongside him as well. Did you notice anything European in his style of play?
The biggest one for me, and I learned very early on my playing career when I went into the team, was Ray was always coming deep for the ball and I was always wanting to give him the ball. And it was only one of the games at half-time, Frank Sibley was his assistant. He called me once, it was one side, and he said, stop giving Ray the ball. I said, but it's Ray Wilkins. He wants the ball. He said, he's creating space for other people. Drop it in behind, play down the side. He said, but Ray was obviously thinking two or three steps ahead and I was obviously wanting to give him the ball. Sometimes there were people tight on him and I learned very early in my career that he was obviously thinking two or three steps ahead, creating space and time for others. As Paul spoke about, one of the best at creating space and time for himself and other people, I felt, with his movement, coming short for the ball, spinning away from the ball. And just going, flipping alongside, he used to take us away in pre-season in Tuscany, where he obviously went with Milan. Mm-hmm. And I knew Ray Wilkins was obviously a big player, played in the World Cup with Paul and played for England as well. We were walking down one of the side streets in Tuscany up in the mountains, and these little kids come out of nowhere, all wanting his autograph. And you know, and you're in the middle of Tuscany, in the middle of nowhere, and they're all wanting Ray Wilkins' autograph. And that was how big a personality and how big a player I think Ray was.
Absolutely incredible. Well, Paul, I'm unfortunately too young to remember Ray Wilkins at Man United, and especially that FA Cup final goal against Brighton. When you joined the club, obviously you knew that Wilkins had been there. So having come from QPR, was there added pressure for you to deliver?
It's not about, I mean, it should be that. I think there was more about myself more than anything. Mm. It's always, you know, it's always, if you're going to decide, if you play football, you want to go as high as possible, play for the biggest club, represent your country and play in the big games. As far as I was concerned, the big game was an FA Cup final. Joining Manchester United, you suddenly realise winning the league is more important. That's what the club was looking for. That's what the club had expected. But for me, I put myself under pressure of the fact of going there when I had other opportunities to go to places. I had a club in London, which I supported as a kid. I could have gone to, but I didn't. I chose United because what he meant to my dad, who grew up in the West Indies and knowing Bobby Charlton and George Best. If I'd have been a boxer, my dad would have wanted me to be Muhammad Ali. Mm. But there's always that pressure when you go to any big club. You're going there to test yourself, and any player who gets the opportunity to go to a big club but turns it down, for me, hasn't got it right about the way they set themselves out. You can't want to be a professional footballer without wanting to play as high as possible. And I was lucky enough to achieve it. Some might say I didn't really achieve enough. Some maybe say that I've done great. But I look at it myself and I say I could have done better, because I think you're always going to want to believe you can do better. And a lot about you, I think about Ray. I remember a few times with Ray, the way Ray's way of always talking to players and in training sessions when a player made a mistake, the way he talked to them about that mistake, that player wanted that ball again next time to actually try and put that mistake right. Because Ray knew how to talk to people, and yet the way he changed his voice to talk to people, and he was so good at that. So when you hear stories about, especially one just after we lost Ray, about someone how he helped a man on the street, if you know Ray Wilkins, you can 100% believe that's the kind of thing he would do.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And just segueing on to my next question there, Paul, when you were in talks with United or when the interest came in, did you speak to Ray Wilkins about it? I'm pretty sure he could have told you enough about the club.
Be honest, I've done a lot of it on my own, but the reason why I didn't speak to Ray a lot about it, because it happened out of the blue. It just come from nowhere. There was no rumours anywhere, and I was talking to another club, and it just popped up on the same day, on a Saturday afternoon, when I was in West London chatting to the other team, the other manager, and it popped up, and I went. And the moment I went, I knew I was going to stay. There was nothing else was going to change my mind in what I'd done. If I'd have spoken to Ray, and I know what Ray thought about Manchester United, he absolutely loved it. But everyone, when I was there, talked about Ray Wilkins. You mentioned Ray Wilkins to any of that office staff there. Everyone around, everyone loved him because he had that way about him that he mostly sat in that office and, you know, while there was work, and he may help people. He'd done it at QPR. When we went back to the ground to maybe go and get our mail and that, Ray wouldn't just go in there and go. Ray would go in there and stay and chat to anyone who come around. You'd think he was one of the staff in that sense, not playing staff, one of the office staff.
He did have a bit of a angry streak as well, didn't he, Trevor? I remember the World Cup against Morocco, wasn't it? He threw the ball at the referee.
Yeah, he swore to us that he meant to miss him. He said it was just pure bad luck that actually hit the referee. But we used to wind him up about that as young lads. There was a group of us young lads coming through at the same time, and we used to hang off his every word. The advice that he used to give us, as Paul said, was the way he could change his voice, the way he could talk to different people. And us young lads, we used to hang off and we used to ping balls with him after training, speak to him about Maldini and Baresi. You know, the way they would talk about these players, it was fantastic just learning off him and being around Ray. It was.
Yeah, I can imagine, mate. And when he was talking about these footballers, obviously in Milan and Paris Saint-Germain, did you feel that maybe one day you guys could follow his footsteps, so to speak?
As young lads, as Paul said, it's what you strive for, to play for the biggest, to do as well as you can. And whatever happens in your career, it happens. But, you know, we felt we had, and learned, especially learning off Ray and speaking to, we had Ray Wilkins around, we had Les Ferdinand at the time. There were some fantastic players in my era. Clive Wilson, for me, was one of the best fullbacks that I played with. That didn't play for England. You know, learning and watching these players play as a young lad was fantastic. And Ray was the pinnacle of the group, yeah.
Absolutely. And going forward to his career at Glasgow Rangers, he finally got his hands on a championship winner's medal. Then he came back to England, had a few spells at Crystal Palace, QPR, Wickham, etc., etc. Then he went into management, QPR. So when he's got the job full-time there, Trevor, what are you thinking straight away?
I was thinking at the time he had a massive job on his hands because a lot of clubs were swooping for some of the players. If I remember rightly, Les Ferdinand was being touted all over the country. Clive Wilson, Andy Sinton, you know, he was taking charge of a team and he was having to build a group of players from it. He kept the team up in his first year. Great bit of togetherness. Everything was small-sided games with Ray. Everything was bubbly. Everything was great. Second season was a lot tougher, especially when he lost some of those players I just spoke about. And us young lads, a lot of us young lads had to go in and try and play and compete. And it was a lot tougher for Ray. And my overriding memory was, I don't think sometimes he was tough enough in his team talks. You know, I thought he found it hard to have a bite a little bit. We signed a player, a record signing called Ned Zelich, we did.
Ah, yes.
Who wasn't doing it. Ned wasn't doing it and he wasn't at it. And John Ollins was trying to get him. And we just wanted Ray to really get into him, but he never did. Maybe he was just trying to keep him on side, I don't know. But as young as players, we just felt that he needed just that little bit of a bite. As a manager.
Yeah, I can understand. But the thing is, going back to his Glasgow Rangers days, I seem to remember an article a while back, them saying that he set them on the road to the 9 in a row. They'd been struggling for winning the titles, and then Wilkins comes in, completely changes the dynamic of the club, and they go on to win 9 in a row. Kind of like the same way Cantona had at United, Paul. Don't you think it's very similar?
Yeah, I suppose you can look at it. People always come back and say it was Scotland rather than, you know, the English league. But at that time, Scottish football was a lot better than what it is now. There was better individuals than what there is now. Obviously, the competition was still between the two teams, but I think even Aberdeen and Hearts and Hibs had a little bit more of a say than what it was before. But you could have put Ray in any team with any players, and Ray would try and help those players, and he'd always take that team forward. Even individuals will improve. Individuals improved at Queen's Park Rangers because he demanded more from them in training. Well, where before we used to muck around a little bit in the boxes and whatever, all of a sudden, Ray kind of made it a little bit of an embarrassment if you got caught out and you went in too often, because he'll drop little one-liners and he could destroy you with a one-liner. He was that good. He didn't have to swear or anything like that, Ray. He could just come out and say something and he could destroy you. Some people took him a little bit longer to understand what he's saying, but he was that clever about it, and the way he done it, and it wasn't to humiliate anybody. Like, it was just his own way of just letting you know that you should be doing better and have a little bit about more about yourself than what you have at this moment. Because as the saying goes, and what you keep hearing all the time, and again, Trevor will know it, is that, you know, what you put into training or what you take into training, sometimes you're expected to take a lot of it into a game, but there's bits of what you do in training that go into a game that sometimes end up making you look a bad player. And Ray was all about having good habits in training.
No, I totally agree with everything you said. I mean, sometimes it was just the look with his eyes, and you knew you were going to get full barrels just with his look after. And I was like, he'll be like, oh my God, I'm going to get it. Do you know what I mean? The pass hasn't been crisp enough. It's not been the right way. And he's given me the eyes. And you knew that was enough from Ray. And, you know, just that look sometimes, even if it was like a crossing session and it's not been zinged out well enough, he'd be like, he'd give you the eyes. And, you know, it was coming then.
The thing is, it goes back to what we said about that streak they had. I can't say too much about Ray Walkins, the football, because, like I said, I caught the back end, the tail end of his career. But knowing what I've seen, basically on YouTube and hearing what other people have said, he's undoubtedly one of the best English players that this country's produced, surely.
Yeah, in my opinion, without a doubt. Doesn't get enough credit, really, but the best judges of footballers out there are players who know. And you speak to anybody who played with him or played against him, they'll always turn around and tell you how good a player Ray Walkins was. Didn't really... In, as far as I think footballers are concerned, Ray Walkins was a superstar, but he wasn't one of these who wanted to be in the light or anything like that. It was just about being the best footballer, and Ray, without doubt, was one of the best footballers his country's ever had. And when you see what everyone was saying about him, all the clubs that he went to, what they were saying, they all meant it. It's an easy thing to say because you don't want to say anything wrong about people in such a situation, but there isn't anybody out there who could say anything wrong about Ray as a person and Ray as a footballer.
Totally agree. All the accolades that were given to him, I saw one from Nigel Kwasi, I played with, who was a young lad, and he spoke about his debut at Manchester United, Nigel at 17, and how Ray, he gave his... Nigel's family didn't have much at the time, and Ray bought his mum a mobile phone without Nigel knowing to give her the news, and then transported her up to Manchester United for the game and done that all on his own back. And you hear stories like that and you're like, it was the type of man that Ray was. He'd done so much for other people as well as himself, obviously, but all the accolades, they're all true.
Fantastic. Well, what I will say is, again, hearing what other people have said about him, is that he's influenced a lot of younger footballers. I was speaking to Paul Ifield the other day about his time at Millwall and when he was assistant to Dennis Wise, and he said practically the same thing as you guys. So much of an influential character. I'm just interested to know how many people like that there are left in the game, especially in the UK.
I'm just trying to think about it. In the modern game, I think Ray's influence will obviously rub off on a lot of people. So I'm thinking... I'm looking at the likes of Frank Lampard coming in at Chelsea, and he's probably worked with him, with Ancelotti, and I'm hoping that Ray's influence might have rubbed off on Frank. Well, I imagine it will have. And there'll be a lot of people I know now, I quote a lot of what Ray does to my young lads at Bristol City Football Club when I'm coaching them, a lot of what he does and the way he's influenced me. So I know for a fact that he's rubbed off on me massively. And I imagine that everybody that he's worked with along the way who's still in coaching will be severely influenced by Ray also. I really do.
Paul?
To be perfectly honest, at this moment in time, I would say no. I mean, Ray had to live for years and everyone got caught up and they started calling Ray the crab, you know, about him passing sidewards. And to be honest, I'm watching football now. If Ray Wilkins was being called a crab, I'll tell you what, these players who are playing now would be called rugby players because everyone's passes seem to be going backwards. You know, it's just, no, I mean, I think that was so disrespectful after, more so about it is when I played with him, played in the same side and saw how brave he was to try and make those match-winning passes or those passes that will put someone in an area where they could get enough about them to maybe affect an assist or something like that. Ray was so positive with his passing. But football today, there isn't a lot of brave players, a lot of brave British players anymore. It's about stats, and your stats are your selling point. Ray was brave enough to try and make those passes. And if he thought it was the right decision and it didn't work out, he would go and try it again. He wouldn't suddenly just go safe because he knew that safe was never going to win you a game of football. Safe was never going to get you out of trouble if you was chasing a game. Ray was always willing to make that pass forward, always looking forward. And I think today's midfield players, and I think Trevor knows more about me, he's in football more than what I am now with the coaching side of it. There isn't many dynamic midfield players anymore. I think a lot of it, in my opinion, is being taken away from players, and it is about ball retention now.
Yeah, I agree with that. You've seen a lot in the modern game of sort of the 4-2-3-1 shape with the number 10, which likes to play in the pocket. The two midfielders behind generally sit in front of a back four and are safe, as you said. So there isn't a 4 and 8 as such. And I spoke with Stel beforehand, and I said in the modern game now, Ray would be a magical Pirlo type number four, where he could play those ranging passes, but also keep it at the right times because he's that intelligent. You know, in the modern game, I think Ray would be an absolute superstar in the football nowadays. Be an absolute star.
Absolutely. And the thing is, when people were calling Ray Wilkins a crab, what we're looking at, mid-80s, are we saying that? Mid-80s to late-80s? Is that about fair? Now, if you look at, say, England's Mexico 86 squad, when they had the likes of Glenn Hoddle, Brian Robson, Chris Waddle, John Barnes, all flair players, but you could, in fact, one could argue that Ray Wilkins could have been or should have been the glue that held them together because of his industry, because of his awareness, because of his technical ability. I just think it's a shame that Brian Robson got that injury because I think England could have gone much further.
During that time, yeah, they definitely could have done. And it just, every time you look at situations with England, it has always been if Brian Robson hadn't got injured. And a lot of things were United as well if Robbo hadn't got injured during that time when they went to those first games unbeaten. Was it 10 games unbeaten they went?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think they won 10, something like that. And it made a difference then as well. So I think we have to say is that Ray did make a difference in that side. And you look at those midfield players out there, and you look at, and we haven't got those quality midfield players, what Ray played, including Ray, who Ray played with, nothing like that at all. We've got a lot of players who have been lifted up to an incredible level because of there's media every 2 yards now. Everybody's a journalist. Everyone knows a great player. Everyone knows great coaches and everyone's a great manager. So football has changed that much now that our players are seriously hyped up to a level that justifies the money that you're having to pay for a player now. Well, those players, I mean, Glenn Hoddle, and you mentioned Chris Waddle, John Barnes. You know, you're talking now already. If you look at that now, you'd give over $100 million for both of them. All of them. Glenn Hoddle was absolutely incredible as a footballer. One of those players, like I mentioned earlier, that unless you were standing on his toes when he got the ball, you didn't go near him because you were worried about him nutmegging you or dropping a shoulder and going past you. If you're not there, you used to stand 3 yards away and you're saying, please, just go sidewards, go backwards, don't bend. Everything negative, you're thinking it when Glenn got the ball. And it's a big, big difference. And the problem that's now is with football is that football doesn't exist, you know, pre-1992, which is the biggest, which is the biggest crime in football at this moment in time, and we're going through that situation now.
Mm. Well, look, before we move on to the final segment, gents, when you think about modern-day footballers that you can compare with Ray Wilkins, I know it's a difficult thing to do. The closest player I can think of in my memory in terms of modern day would be Michael Carrick. That's the closest player I can think of that was similar to Ray Wilkins. Would you agree with that?
I think the one we spoke about earlier, well, not so modern, but it's Pirlo. Pirlo, it's one that sticks in my mind. Yeah. Maybe it's because of his size and stature that, and the way he moves across the ground. But that's probably the closest one in my mind that plays like Ray, with the intelligence and the enthusiasm to get on the ball and make things happen and keep it at the right times but penetrate at the right times. He's probably the one that sticks in my mind.
Paul?
Well, if you're going to go outside Europe, yeah, I'll have to agree with that. Mm. That one. There's no one I could think of in this time span now. But if you're looking for someone British at this moment, if you're trying to find someone British, we're a long way short of anybody out there, in my opinion, who can get anywhere near what Ray was all about. Who I can think of offhand and not get grief for saying it. Because I think I'd do Ray a disservice if I was trying to think of one now at this moment.
Fair point. Okay, on a final note, gentlemen, I'm going to leave this to you guys. What are your fondest memories? Any stories, anything you can share?
Oh, shall I go first?
Go ahead.
I'll go. Again, in Tuscany, where we went pre-season training, we were sat on the veranda, so we sat in there having our pasta after training, and Ray can obviously speak fluent Italian, and he was telling us he was going off for dinner. He was going off for dinner, but he didn't tell us who with. Like Ray, he was very unassuming, but he's going off to dinner. Out of nowhere, this helicopter's come and landed on the lawn. Like it does, the helicopter come and landed, and off Ray went, and Silvio Berlusconi come out of the helicopter and gave him a big hug, and off they went in their helicopter. And as a young lad, you're sat eating your pasta, ready for training tomorrow, you're thinking, he's actually a real superstar, the guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's my overriding memory of Ray and pre-season training, helicopter landing on the front lawn in a hotel, and off he went for dinner with Berlusconi.
There you go. Well, we know about Berlusconi's parties, but I'm pretty sure Ray Wilkins went for dinner.
I'm sure.
Nice wine. That's it. Yeah. There you go. Paul?
I haven't got anything like that about Ray. It was because, obviously, I was there. I played at Rangers with him. I saw him when I was under 21s, and he was in the full England squad at that given time. He used to travel on the same planes. So I haven't got any stories like anything like that, and to be honest, I'd be ashamed to try and tell one after that one. I don't think I could ever top that story, by the way. But, I mean, it's just my lasting memory of Ray is that I saw Ray just a few days before he passed. I was working at Chelsea v Crystal Palace on a Saturday, and at the press box at Chelsea, Ray had a season ticket there. And I saw Ray as he walked at half-time. He walked past early and he waved to me while got the microphone, and then on his way back to his seat, he's come down a bit later and the second half has just started, so I'm on the microphone and I'm talking away, so I'm sprouting out a load of rubbish, as I keep getting told. So I'm talking there, all of a sudden Ray's kind of pushed past the person at the end and he's come up and he's given me this big hug while the game's going on. The commentator, Nick Godwin for BBC London, has had to apologise to the people out there listening that the fact of Paul Parker sounds like he's someone has like knocked the wind out of him, but Ray Wilkin is giving him a massive bear hug at this moment in time. I could not. He just grabbed me and gave me this massive, great big hug, and you could see everyone around suddenly turn around and stop looking at the game and watch Ray giving me a hug while trying to lift me off the floor. And that was the last time I saw him, because the following week was when he passed. And the worst thing about that, him passing as well, is it happened on my birthday as well.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things I'm not going to forget. And to be honest, I don't really want to, because I always want to remember Ray. And I think a lot of the things that have been said about him absolutely sums him up. He was just such a bright light in so many people's lives. Everything he'd done, there was a smile on his face. And as Trevor mentioned earlier, when his eyes went, you knew you'd done something wrong. But I think somewhere along the line, Trevor, you would come out and you would say that he gave you that look and you wanted to do better. Would I be right in saying that?
Always wanted to do better and try and please him and do right for Ray, absolutely, on the pitch, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Absolutely, that was brilliant. Thank you.
Great memories, that. Fantastic with Ray.
Brilliant. Well, gentlemen, before I let you guys go, is there anything you'd like to plug or mention or anything, Trev?
No, all good, Phil. Thank you.
Okay, brilliant. Paul, what you got for me, mate?
I haven't got a great deal. All I want now, really, is just for... I'd like just for football just to start, to be perfectly honest. Mm. I just want football to come out and then just to maybe just try and get some kind of good feel factor back now and just try some way to get everything in place in the correct manner for football to kick off and to get going, which will lift a lot of people.
Mm. Well, the Bundesliga is about to resume in the next couple of weeks, I think, so... there will be something on the telly for us to watch.
rather than binge TV.
Exactly. There you go. Right, that's it from us this week, ladies and gents. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We are on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We also have an Instagram account, which is Shoot the Defence. So until next time, thank you very much. Take care.